And that is referring to Jesus Christ, where he is called a messenger bringing a message from God. So, even it says here, the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Now notice that Jesus Christ came as a messenger with a message from God for all mankind. Of course, it came first into Israel, but it was actually a message for all mankind. Now, that message was the most important news announcement ever made to the human family on this earth. It was news of a future event, and therefore it was a prophecy by its very nature. Now, notice the beginning of Christ's gospel. It's in Mark, the first chapter, and beginning with verse 1, where we read, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So we begin right at the beginning. "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." Now, that's quoting the scripture that I just read to you from the book of Malachi. Then it comes on, "The one that was to prepare the way before him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." Then it says, "John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now, for several verses, it talks about John the Baptist, who was a messenger, preparing the way before the great messenger, who was Jesus Christ, who brought the message from God. Now, next, we move on down to verse 14. "Now, after that John was put into prison, and his message of preparing the way was accomplished, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching what gospel?" Now, listen. "Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." He said, believe that gospel. And my friend, how can you believe it when you don't even know what it is, and when it has not been proclaimed? You know that through the centuries, they have proclaimed what they call the gospel, a message about the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, they've said wonderful things about him, and it's all true. But he said here that he brought a message, and we must believe the message that the messenger brought. And he says that you must repent and believe the gospel, the good news, the message, the announcement. Now, Jesus' gospel, his message, his good news announcement, was the coming kingdom of God. Very few know anything about the kingdom of God today. Some people think it's just a sort of a sentiment or something in your heart, that God will set something up in nebulous, you might say, nothing in men's hearts. Other people think it's the church. But the Bible says the flesh and the blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Just can't enter into it. And certainly every church I know anything about is flesh and blood, unless you think the church is the building, and the building is certainly not the kingdom of God. Now, what is a kingdom? The kingdom of God. What is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is a government, a nation, or an empire, including its government. In this particular case, it was actually more than just a government set up to rule people. It also involves the people of that kingdom or the empire. And sometimes, you know, a nation or a kingdom is made up of a family. The descendants are the children of one man. Now, the nation Israel was made up primarily of the children, the descendants of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. They were the children of Israel, and they became the kingdom of Israel. Now, the Turkish nation are the descendants of the ancient Esau, who was the twin brother of Jacob, and his descendants became a great nation also. And as a matter of fact, up until World War I, the Turks were really a great kingdom, and they became a kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God will be made up of the children of God. So Jesus' gospel, or his announcement, therefore, included the good news that humans may be born again, born of God, that we may become the children of God. And I don't mean in the sense of that most people think of, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, and that all men are children of God. The Bible doesn't say that, my friends. It says that those who are not converted and have not received the Holy Spirit of God are the children of Satan the devil, not the children of God. Believe it or not, that is what your Bible says. There are seven places in the New Testament where it says that they are the children of Satan the devil. people came to Jesus in his ministry over 1900 years ago and said, "We be the children of God." He says, "You are not the children of God, or you would believe me. You are the children of your father, the devil," Jesus said to them. Well, you can read it if you want to read all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the first four books in the New Testament. It's a biography of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, so it included this announcement that we can become the children of God. You know, it says right here in the very first chapter of John in the New Testament. Let me just turn to that a moment, the first of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Now, that's speaking of Christ. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That's explained a little better over in the third chapter of Ephesians, where it says God created all things by Jesus Christ. But Christ was the workman that God used to do the work of creating. Now, in verse 4 here, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in a dark place, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now, verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." They weren't already the sons of God. He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, you have to understand what Jesus was saying to this man Nicodemus, who was quite a powerful man, and he didn't want to be seen. He felt a little ashamed to be seen coming to see Jesus, so he sort of sneaked in by night after dark when he thought no one would see him. And Jesus said to him that you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And Nicodemus couldn't understand what he meant by being born again. Neither, my friends, do most professing Christians understand what that means today. Very few understand it. Now, I have a booklet, "Just What Do You Mean, Born Again?" So if you want to really get that straight once and for all, you better write in and get that booklet. Don't be too sure that you know what it means to be born again, to be born of God, to become one of the very children of God. Because we were not born children of God as we were born human in this world. Many professing Christians sincerely believe that they have been, quote, born again, unquote, but do not understand what Jesus meant by those words. The true answer is not only surprising, it is startling. The most important truth that you can know, and it is made so plain that everyone can understand in this special booklet, "Just What Do You Mean, Born Again?" So just write in for the booklet on being born again, and I'll be glad to send it to you. But that was included in the gospel of Christ. And it is those who are born again that will form with Christ the kingdom of God when they are born again. And the Bible shows that you're not actually born of God until the time of the resurrection. A lot of people get to wondering, is there any life after death? Does the Bible extend any hope of life after death? The Bible definitely does not extend the hope, or any hope whatsoever, of an immortal soul. The Bible says, on the contrary, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter and the 4th verse. And then again it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that is in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. So, now, Jesus' gospel included that, but it also was speaking about a kingdom, a nation, an empire, or a government, if you please. Now, let's go further into what Christ's gospel really is, because you're going to hear some real surprises in all probability. Now, Jesus was born to be a king. He was born for the very purpose of becoming the king of the kingdom of God. Now, notice the announcement that was made here to his mother, Mary, before he was born, in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 30. "And the angel said unto her," to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David."
because Jesus was a direct descendant of the ancient King David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, when Jesus was on trial for his life before Pilate, I want you to notice what is said here in John 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." But also he had said just before that, where it says Jesus answered, the verse just before that, the 36th, "My kingdom is not of this world," meaning of this age or this time or this present world. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, he was born to be a king, but it's still future, my friends. It is not of this world. Now, the church is of this world. Therefore, the church definitely is not the kingdom of God. My friends, let's get down. You know, we suppose that all of the Christian religion came out of the Bible. Look at these hundreds of conflicting denominations and different teachings. Did all of that confusion of teaching come out of the Bible? You know, the greatest shock I think I've ever had in my life was when about 46 years ago, I began a study of the biography of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And I found that Jesus proclaimed just, in most cases, that they're proclaiming today, I'll put it that way, they're proclaiming today just the opposite of what he taught and of the message he brought. Why should that happen, my friends? Now, I didn't like the Bible. I can't help what's there. It's been there for hundreds and much of it for a few thousand years. Most of it for almost 2,000 years, certainly. And there it is. I found that in Sunday school, as I was brought up, that I had been taught in most fundamental, basic points, the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Why should that be? Well, don't ask me, because I'm not responsible for it. Now, Jesus continually spoke about the kingdom of God in parables. For example, let's turn now to Luke, the 8th chapter in the 1st verse. "And it came to pass afterward that Jesus went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Well, I wanted to show you that because he was teaching the 12 disciples that became his 12 apostles this very thing about the kingdom of God. Now, notice next the 13th chapter of Luke, the 18th and the 20th verses. "Then said Jesus, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like the grain of mustard seed." Then he went on to explain the grain of mustard seed that starts out the smallest of all herbs and grows to be the biggest. And in the 20th verse, "And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" And then he gave this parable about the leaven, and that it's like the leaven which spreads all throughout the meal and so on. God sent his disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God, and that is what he commanded his apostles to preach to the world, the kingdom of God. That's the message he brought. And my friends, why is it that for about 18 and a half centuries that message was not proclaimed to the world? You know, people scoff and say, who does that man Armstrong think he is, that the gospel wasn't preached until he came along? Well, now, my friends, let me just ask you. Ask those people, do they preach the kingdom of God? Do they preach about what the kingdom is, when it shall be, how do you get into it? And then look and see if that is the gospel that Jesus brought. Look and see if that is the gospel that the apostles began teaching. And then ask yourself, how did it all get changed to merely a message about the person of Christ? Of course, he was a wonderful person, the most wonderful person who ever lived, and that's fine. We preach that too. But, you know, the real message is something a whole lot more than just that alone. It's, why is Christ such a wonderful person? Because he's going to be the king of the kingdom. Because he's our high priest now, helping us to prepare to be kings and priests with him in that kingdom. That is why. Now, I want you to notice how Jesus sent his disciples out now to proclaim this very gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke, the 9th chapter, in the first two verses. "Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But the message they were to preach was the kingdom of God. Now, those born of God to rule in the kingdom of God are, when they're born, they're going to rule with Christ in the kingdom. Notice now in the 21st verse of the third chapter of the book of Revelation. That's the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, that almost nobody understands, and yet it's given to reveal truth and not to hide it. To him that overcometh, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself after his ascension to heaven. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, I read to you how the angel told Mary that Jesus was to sit on the throne of David here on this earth. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, which will be the throne of David on this earth, even as I also overcame, as he did when he was human here on the earth, and am sat down, as he has been now 1900 years, with my Father on his throne. Now that throne is the Father's throne in heaven. But that's the Father's throne. Jesus' throne will be the throne of David here on this earth. And if those that have his Spirit are begotten of him, if they overcome, they are to reign with him on that throne. Now notice, the second chapter and verses 26 and 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. To him will I give power over the nations, nations here on this earth. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Those are the words of the living Jesus Christ after his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. Now, notice what gospel the apostles went out preaching. In Acts the 8th chapter, in verse 12. Acts the 8th chapter and verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. You see what message he preached? The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And he taught them about Christ too. So do we. So should everybody. That's fine. But the message is the gospel of good news of the kingdom of God. And when they believed that, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, notice in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, the 19th chapter and verse 8, and this is talking about the Apostle Paul here, who became the Apostle to the Gentiles. Paul went into the synagogue, and he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, he was talking to Jews, but there were Gentiles also there, and he was speaking, actually, to both. Now, notice again in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, the 28th chapter, and verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him, to the Apostle Paul, into his lodging. He didn't go around from house to house. They came to him, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning till evening. Yes, he told them about Jesus too. That's fine. Should. But notice again in verse 29. Now, at first, he'd been preaching to the Jews. And someone will say, yeah, but he was just preaching to Jews. All right, now notice what he preached to the Gentiles. And you go through his letters to the churches where they were Gentile-born, that had become Christians, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, here it is in verse 29 of Acts chapter 28. And when he had said these things, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years. Now, after the Jews departed, now he's not preaching to Jews anymore, but to Gentiles, in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So now, that shows you pretty well the gospel. I've just given you a little brief account. I could quote some many, many more scriptures along that line. Now, what connection does all of this have to the now forming political military union in Europe? It's already an economic union. But my friends, the leaders over there are hoping with all their might that it can be turned into a military, well, not they're not saying military, but that's what it will be, but a political union. They want a common currency in Europe. You know, you go from one nation to another, and you have marks in Germany, and you have francs in both Switzerland and France, and so it goes, different kinds of currencies, and we have pounds and so on in England. Now, what is the connection? This resurrected Roman Empire that's coming, what connection does that have to the gospel or the kingdom of God? Well, now, it has every connection in the world. Next, I'd like to have you turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation, the 17th chapter. So, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Now, John here is describing what he saw in vision, and in vision he was seeing things that are to happen here on the earth in our time now. It was for the far, far future at the time he wrote it, which was about 1900 years ago. So he carried, or almost that, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, that's a wild animal, my friends, full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. Now, there is that monster, that wild animal, with seven heads and ten horns. Now, we turn back just a little bit to the 13th chapter of Revelation. And notice, beginning with the very first verse of it, in the 13th chapter of Revelation. John is recording again what he saw. And I stood upon the sand of the sea in this vision, and saw a beast. Now, here's this beast spoken of again. A beast or wild animal rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns. Now, a crown is a symbol of rulership, of being a king of some kind, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. No, it wasn't a leopard, it was like a leopard. In other words, it had the quick cat-like quickness of a leopard, which is a cat, and probably the body of a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. That's the strongest part of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That's the strongest part of a kingly lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, you don't think of a wild animal as having great authority. So it's something more than that. And if you want to understand it, I have a small book, The Key to the Book of Revelation, which gives you a chart and makes it just an outline, the plain. Then I have a more complete booklet of, I believe, 48 pages or more on the Book of Revelation unveiled at last that will really clear it up and make it plain and clear to you. There's no charge. It's just a public service by Ambassador College in the public interest. And incidentally, while you're at it, if you're not already a subscriber for The Plain Truth, request your own free annual subscription to The Plain Truth. There's no magazine like it. It explains world events, the news behind the news. It makes plain the meaning of world events in the light of Bible prophecy and where these events are taking us in this world that you are living in. As I say, this is just a public service published by Ambassador College in the public interest. There's no charge. There's no subscription price to The Plain Truth. We have nothing to sell. And we have editors all over the world, and we don't report world happenings. We explain them. We give you the solution to the problems. And it's the only magazine where you find anything like that. And there's no subscription price. We have nothing to sell. If you send money to pay for it, we'll return it. Of course, if you send money for some other purpose, well, that's another matter. But I mean, if you send it to pay for it, we're going to return it. You can't buy it. So, all you do for the Plain Truth magazine, if you're not already a subscriber, just send your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111 in Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Until next time, goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. send your request with the call letters of this radio station to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.